Forbes has listed event planning as one of the top 10 most stressful jobs in America. We actually were doing a meeting for about 200 people in Panama. As we were landing, the hotel that we would be hosting this group of 200 in was closing. Our customer was in the air. We went into full speed ahead, found another hotel just opening, were able to move everything in a matter of 3 days, make everybody aware that this is now where they're going to go. It's a superpower.
Are you looking to increase sales, grow your brand, and share your leadership message? Then check out our business podcast program. Each week, more people listen to podcasts than have Netflix accounts, and one-third of the U.S. population listens to podcasts regularly. So, your customers and team are already listening to podcasts. It should be yours. Discover our 5-step profitable podcast framework and what results you can expect for your company by setting up a 20-minute call with my team at benleads.com/schedule. That's benleads.com/schedule.
Welcome back to Lead the Team with number one best-selling author and in-demand corporate trainer, Ben Fanning. On this podcast, the world's most innovative senior leaders share their top success strategies to motivate your direct reports, cultivate your top leaders, and accelerate your career. Let's get started. Here's Ben.
Hey there, Lead the Team. Welcome back to another great episode. Today, I have for you Janet Trapphagen, who is president of Creative Group, with over 30 years in the event marketing sector. Her personal core values are kindness, curiosity, and growth, a lot of which align with this here podcast. In case you're not familiar with Creative Group, they've been motivating people since 1970 as a performance improvement company, and they specialize in engagement, incentive and recognition solutions, and end-to-end meetings and event management. Holy smokes, Janet, welcome to Lead the Team.
Thanks so much, Ben.
I'm kind of chuckling to myself because it took me, for some reason, 3 or 4 times to re-record it. Oh, we finally got it. Janet, you're so patient.
Here we are.
And nothing says flexibility and improvisation like the event marketing world. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
So maybe start that off with that. What's one of your most memorable events or crazy situations that went down in event marketing that you had to respond to?
There are so many. Wow, that's a big question. I can think of a couple where we had to really, really pull on being resourceful. Good. We actually were doing a meeting for about 200 people in Panama. And our folks usually go in a few days early. And we did. And as we were landing, the hotel that we would be hosting this group of 200 in was closing. And that was a first. And so we literally, our customer was in the air. And so obviously we went into full speed ahead and found another hotel that was literally just opening. We're able to move everything in a matter of 3 days, make everybody aware that this is now where they're going to go. We walk in and you could still smell paint fumes. Wow. So that's one example, or a tsunami coming at a hotel in Hawaii. And again, Just having to really react and be resourceful and calm and move groups. And yeah, it happens every day.
Wow. All right. So That's a really good skill to have. I guess calmness.
Yes.
The ability to improvise in the event management space. Mm-hmm. Gosh, man, it just seems like it would be stressful. Like what? But 30 years, I mean, what do you do to deal with the stress? Because you never know when this is going to happen.
This is totally true. You know, it's interesting to back that up for a minute. Like you said, a lot of stress. Forbes has listed event planning as one of the top 10 most stressful jobs in America for many, many years now. It's usually around number 5 or 6. Hmm. What I find more interesting is who's ahead of 5 or 6. And it's almost always people who are saving lives or carrying guns. It is a stressful job. But what we do is we really hire what we call for the 51%. And that's really high EQ and relationship skills. And we have a very defined, what we call 49-51% success model and who we're looking for. So we have very defined interview questions around that. So the 51% is really that EQ Are you calm? Can you be resourceful? Because we cannot train for someone being injured on site and airlifted out, or for a hotel, you know, getting hit by a tsunami or whatever it is. That's not, those aren't things you can train. We can train on the 49%, which is the technical aspect of the job. Mm-hmm. But the 51% is even more important in terms of the skills needed to be successful in this industry.
So outdoor events, I love outdoor events. In fact, we're going to a 2-day outdoor concert in Charleston that happens every year. It's called the High Water Festival. And of course, they're projecting rain. And we had the Charleston Wine and Food Festival about 3-4 weeks ago, and it was hit by a massive rainstorm, and it caused a lot of problems with their events. And so we want these events to happen. There's always those weather threat or something else. Like, what, at one point do you say, hey, it's not worth it? Like it, like the stress or the worry for months about weather, like how are you thinking through this as a leader? A leader might be thinking, I want to have this event.
We have experts. I mean, those are the folks in our operations teams, and we always have a plan B and sometimes a plan C. You know, we obviously go to beautiful locations, Hawaii and all throughout Europe, and always at beautiful resorts. Yeah. And that's always, you know, we want to maximize and optimize the views and being outside. That's always the preference, but we always have to be prepared for the plan B. And we always have a backup, and we always have ready to pull the trigger at some point, probably that morning. Let's make the call, push it out on the app and let people know if that's been changed. You have to really be prepared. It's a superpower to be that organized, that calm, that detailed, to lead an organization, but certainly a group on site.
So what are the kinds of organizations that you work with? You normally work with more businesses. Like, it's like when I read performance improvement company, and we're talking about event planning, some people might say, well, where's the intersection of those two?
That's a great question. Our primary audience and our primary target, it's B2B, and many and most are Fortune 500. And often they're looking to Creative Group to even help them with content. So we've been just kind of chatting a little bit about the logistics, but it's also very content and strategic and design heavy. So why are you coming together? What is the why? Right. And from that why, let's create a strategy that helps you make sure you're optimizing 500 people coming together, 200 people coming together for whatever that reason is. What's the strategy we're going to build a design around? So we are really in that upfront architecture of the purpose of coming together. Now, the thing that gets all the, that looks the razzle dazzle, of course, is when it all happens, the big production, the stage, the lights, or the luau, or, you know, whatever it is, that is what looks obvious. But there's many, many months ahead of that where we are really tied to our customers' strategy and helping them achieve that.
Next level event management.
Yes.
It's not just an event.
Right.
You're doing it with a business purpose. As Stephen Covey would say in the Seven Habits, you're beginning with the end in mind, which is their why.
Exactly.
The outcome, and then planning the whole event, the whole experience around that. And I can see how that can accelerate performance, because honestly, there is nothing better. I mean, this was reinforced during the pandemic. There is nothing better than getting people together. And then something, you know, just the magic happens when people get together.
Yeah. So we are creating that whole experience even well before they get there. You know, we're engaging that audience months before and starting to really seed the why and engaging them. It could be in a number of ways, small groups that have like interest. It could be a little bit of pre-work. It could be anything. And then on-site is part of that experience. And then how do you extend that investment long afterward? So we're really a strategic partner in the entire process.
What is the smallest group you've ever done an event for? And what is the biggest group you've ever done an event for?
Well, we do small a lot for some of our large customers. So some of our customers, we do 40 and 50 events with a year. So that's, that size can really span from a group of, you know, a board meeting of 20, you know, to their product launch of a brand new car, and that could be 2000. You know, so it could be anything in between. There again, it's really, it's connected to their purpose of coming together.
Yeah, wow. And I'm assuming, I'm guessing you guys spent a lot of time with them up front before the event. Like you're having, like you put people think an event management company, well, I'm managing the event. But there's, the real art is before, I'm assuming.
You know, it's interesting. We've separated and decoupled the client journey with our company and the attendee journey with the actual event. And the client journey, we are with them hundreds of hours on an annual basis, right? That could be weekly meeting, fine-tuning that strategy, presenting design ideas, looking at budget reviews, flying to different sites and selecting venues and hotels. There's a lot of time spent with the client designing for the attendee journey. So we spend a lot of time with the client. And then, of course, on site, if it is a live event with those attendees.
So if I'm a CEO of a company and I'm trying to get, like, I need to have a team event. And I've got, you know, I'm trying to work on my budget. And all I know is I want to get my team on the same sheet of music. You want to have some fun and we're flexible to travel. What in the world, like, what should they be thinking about the next step for them?
Well, if we would sit down with you and have that conversation, we would want to know 100 things. So we would ask a lot of questions, a pretty deep dive on discovery.
Yeah.
And one of those things is tell us about your audience. We'd really want to better understand your audience profile. And we really want to say, okay, you might even have a subtype audience, right? You might have a main, you might have a secondary audience. And we really want to break down when this is over and they walk away, what will you want them to know by audience type? What will you want them to feel by audience type? And what will you want them to do? So we do the no, feel, do exercise for every audience type so that you can really start thinking about when it's over, what would you like to accomplish and how are we going to measure this, right? So we really start diving deep into that discovery phase of what are you really trying to accomplish and are you going to see a return out of that investment?
What a great framework. And you sound very consultative. You sound like a consultant that happens to also be good at event stuff.
Be good, be in the events industry.
You know, it's very interesting. So, and y'all, you know, I've got a lot of questions for Janet. I even didn't really got into her background, but let's start getting this. Why in the world? I mean, 30 years, it did not run you out of this crazy industry.
Yeah.
You've just gone deeper, gone higher. You know, you're leading a company. Mm. I mean, you're obviously doubling down, but tell us about why you got into this thing in the first place and what's kept you in it.
You know what? This is interesting. I've met so many people who have said the same thing that my answer is, and I really think the industry found me. And I have lots of friends who will say, we don't have any friends whose internal wiring is more aligned with their profession. So, you know, super organized, very detailed, very sequential thinker. And long before that, it was even a recognized profession. I fell into a marketing team who was responsible for meetings and incentive trips at a large organization. Mm. And they were like, "Ooh, she's like good at that, like really, really detailed." So I really began as a meeting planner. And it, again, suited my super detailed, slightly neurotic OCD personality. And it just suited me. Yeah, and I loved it. I started traveling and thought this is really cool. And then, you know, one thing led to the next. I ended up on the supplier side. And then I sold for many years after being in operations. And I loved sales, loved helping customers figure out the why. And then ended up on the senior leadership team. And then for the last 10 years as president. So just sort of all has unfolded what has felt like quite naturally at each stage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, what a great story. Would you or your CEO be a good fit for this podcast? If you know a uniquely talented leader who has a story to share and a message to deliver, then we'd love to host them on the show. Go to benleeds.com/apply to fill out a quick form where you can let us know a little bit about yourself, and my team will take a look to see if we're a good fit. That's bentleeds.com/apply. It just seems like you had a deep awareness of what you were good at. Others saw that. The industry came, like, I was trying to think of other industries where this, your skill set would be a great fit. And I can't think of another one. Maybe like military operations is like relief agencies or something like that, yeah. Where there's like a disaster and you got to go. Yeah. Even though you, disaster recovery does not sound like a lot of fun. You probably have more fun in your job. But yeah, no, that is really, really cool. Man, so, so good so far. So tell me about a time when you felt most confident in your leadership abilities and style. Mm-hmm.
Well, first I will just tell you, back to my personal core values, one of them is curiosity. Hmm. And I have been super curious and a student of leadership for many, many years, long before I was in this role. And I go to conferences, I go to summits, I read all the books. I just love it and am fascinated by it. But it took me a long time to step into my authentic leadership with confidence. And to answer your question, the incident that comes to mind, or the time frame that comes to mind, was actually quite recently. It was just 2020. When you think about what we do for a living, we bring people together in live interactive scenarios. And in 2020, all the gatherings stopped.
Yep.
Right. You know, so here I am leading an organization of 200 people with lots and lots and lots of things on the books, over 400 programs and ahead of us for that year. And it all came to a screeching halt, and we were in nothing but constant cancellations. And sometimes the customers thought, well, this is going to end through the summer, so let's push it out to the fall. And then those started to cancel. That experience for me felt like an opportunity where I stepped in, finally, my most authentic leadership style. And when I say that, I think about the feminine side of leadership. And I've been, again, fascinated by, and I've been asked to speak at a couple things. Hey, could you come and speak to us about, you know, females sitting in the C-suite and that kind of thing. And I've said, if you're open to a slight twist on the topic, I'm more interested in talking, instead of putting it in the gender categories, I'd like to put it in the energy categories, because I think we all have masculine and feminine energy. Okay. We've just been taught, tamed, conditioned to be comfortable expressing one or the other. And certainly in my generation, as I was coming up, the majority of leadership had masculine energy around it that was acceptable. Feminine energy, to be empathic, to be caring, to lean in more to the human side, wasn't as common. And I felt like during this period in 2020, when yes, we had to reduce staff by almost 40%, I leaned into my whole self. And I had to blend both. There, I had a lot of masculine energy. I had to be decisive. I had to be analytical. I had to make really hard decisions. I was accountable to investors. And I was doing weekly town halls with everybody, being gut-wrenchingly honest and transparent in what's happening in the business. We brought in self-care experts just for them as humans, because some of their spouses or family members were losing jobs and a lot of fear, or had death in their families from COVID. And just seeing them as human and vulnerable first, and bringing them along in a transparent way of what was happening in the business, I found myself in feeling more energized. And I think that came from the full embracing of both masculine and feminine energy and just leading in my most authentic style.
Okay, so that's a very interesting topic. And I'm wondering how, so that moment, it called on it's like a different perspective of leadership than you had access to in the past. Did you have a great mentor to help you get there? Were you just reflecting and saw? Did you read something? Like, what was, were there any, I'll say, enablers that helped you channel this different side of yourself?
Yeah, and that student of leadership for many, many years is number one. Number two, I would call this my guardrails. I have an executive coach. And it's not a business coach, it's an executive coach. And we had been working together over the last couple of years just on the topic of leadership. And I sought her out with that goal in mind. And I also have a therapist who I'm like, you know, no shame. She's been on the payroll for 10 years. And these really seem to be my guardrails that I always call keep me from drifting, you know, and stay grounded. Yeah. And that those two have been extremely instrumental in, I would say, preparing me for that moment. I don't think there was a light bulb moment. Mm-hmm. I think there was a moment of confidence to step into what I already knew.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned your support team. Mm-hmm. A lot of leaders get so focused on the people that you're supporting and nurturing, your mm-hmm. team, your customers, yeah. your clients, your board, and they don't nurture mm-hmm. the team that supports them. And mm-hmm. then a dang global pandemic happens and they're like, now I need a coach. Well, yeah. okay, great to go mm-hmm. get a coach at a global pandemic when everyone's mm-hmm. looking for one. But if you'd had it mm-hmm. before, you know, you're already building that support team and you're paying attention to it.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you look back, you're like, hey, building that was a really good moment for me because it all kind of came together.
A little bit of the wiring, if you think about it, of a meeting planner. I have this little phrase, you don't have to get ready if you just stay ready. Right. And that's yeah. so much about like meeting planning is quite that way too. So again, it's in my wiring. And I had already had a lot of practices. I had, you know, I journal in the mornings, I meditate, I pray, I have good guardrails, you know, a lot of the practices mm-hmm. that again, just when those moments hit, you're a little bit more prepared because you don't know when they're going to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so good. That's really good. Really good insights for leaders to think about because you can lose yourself in the work, mm-hmm. but not the stuff behind the world that helps you do the work. Like your health, your mental state, your preparedness. And I love, yeah. you don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Stay people. Ready.
I mean, dang, let's go with that. Let's go with that because,
yeah,
you know, maybe you're, yeah. I'm just thinking like the extreme version. That would be like the preppers, you know, stay ready yeah. in the world. Okay. Yeah.
It will happen one day. I do yeah. believe in being prepared.
Yeah. So this is good.
Yeah.
Really, really good insights on that. Man. So we talked about the events. We talked about, you know, your leadership style. For you now, I just want to open it up. What are you seeing as the future of the event management world, industry? Where's this whole thing headed? How's it going to look? Let me frame it this project in a more fun way. 10 years from today. How are events going to look different than they do today?
I'm not so sure how to answer that 10 years from today. I probably won't be in this role. Hopefully I'll be sitting
You'll
on
be
the
in
beach
Hawaii
somewhere.
For real.
Exactly.
Yeah, not event planning.
Sitting on the beach somewhere, relaxing. I can tell you what we've noticed as a shift and a momentum that we see moving forward. And that is who the buyer has become on the corporate side has definitely shifted. And I think it will continue to inform how agencies like us continue to evolve. And the buyer over the last few years has more and more become a marketing professional, where they used to be sitting in more of a sales or logistics role. And the fact that that shift has happened and we see momentum still picking up there, brands are more interested in how their brand is expressed through multiple channels and now inclusive of live events. I think what happened during COVID was a lot of customers realized the desert of not being together with the top performers who impact their business, whether that's their top dealers, whether that's their top sales professionals, whether that's their top customers. I think they really realized when we couldn't come together face to face, the impact that had and the hunger there was to get back together. They're more judicious with those dollars now, more intentional, looking for a stronger ROI. But we are seeing that marketing is really driving more of the purchasing and the strategy, and we're pulling through brand activations and the customer's brand more in more impactful ways. You combine that with what's the impact of AI going to have. You know, I think that is going to be interesting as we think about how we market events. Also, a younger generation looking for a lot more customization, personalization. They want us to know them just like all the apps. You know, they want it to be predictive. And, you know, so that'll all be really interesting to watch unfold, but exciting.
Yeah. Wow. What a time to be in your industry.
Yeah.
And I do see this, you know, we're in this digital world. And that was accelerated through the pandemic. Yeah. But like you say, it's there does seem to be a lot of like big podcast shows. What are they doing now? Well, they're hosting events because there's a community built around the podcast and the community wants that. And, you know, we're seeing this whole blend of worlds and it's going to make your stuff really, I think, being collaborative in that way with the digital world is going to be hugely impactful.
I think it's both. You know, everybody, certainly during COVID, when we couldn't travel, we did a lot of digital, a lot of virtual. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, well, now that's going to go away. There's still a place for it. You know, it's not an either or binary choice. It's how do you best utilize your dollars? What really should be face-to-face? We helped some of our customers figure out their bulk of spend. What could be done digitally and very effectively, and what really where should the dollars be when it's face to face? So it's both. It's just who's the audience back to, and why are you coming together?
So Jenna, sort of bring this two last questions here. First one is your legacy. You've been in this industry for a long time, been with this company at the helm for over a decade. When it's time for you to go to Hawaii on the beach, what do you hope that your impact would have been?
I am very hopeful that Creative Group continues to emphasize the impact of leaders and culture. I believe great culture is what drives great results. And a lot of people think, you know, my job is just to focus on performance, the bottom line, EBITDA, the return. And that is absolutely a responsibility, but I believe that is stronger when you have a strong culture, high psychological safety, and you invest in future leaders. And they understand the difference between leadership and management and the impact on people's lives.
Parting tip for our listeners. Anywhere you want to go with it.
You can't lead an organization well unless you lead yourself well.
All right. That's a good one. All right, Janet, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Ben.
Want to boost your productivity and decision-making? Get vital insights from each episode delivered directly to your inbox. A great resource, whether you've listened to the episode or not. Go to benfanning.com/insight.